Okay, good morning, friends. It is such an honor to be speaking with you this morning. It has been such a long time since we've been able to gather, and I'm sure, like me, you didn't realize how much we missed and needed each other. So I would like to invite you to turn to the people near you and say good morning. And if it's good morning and I'm happy to see you with just your eyes, then do that. But I always like to, with my classes, I like to say, these are your people. So here are your people, and if you can just make them feel welcome this morning. I'm so glad you guys are here. I hope you, I just want to say, yeah, so if we can smile, sometimes we have to smile with just our eyes in these days. And I don't know if you've heard of the term smize. Do you know smize? Younger, cool, no? Older, cool? Okay. It's smiling with your eyes. And so that's something we need to practice. I think a lot of people these days need smiles more than usual. And maybe they need other things more than usual. Maybe they need more help or support or patience. So for the last several weeks, we've been focusing on the fruits of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5:22. We've looked at love, joy, peace, self-control, and goodness. We have heard this summer, as we've heard before, that these are fruits that appear in our lives as evidence of the work of the Holy Spirit and not by our own discipline or practice. And although it seems some personality types more easily display certain fruits, they are of God and not grown out of people's decisions or mindsets. I'm so excited to be speaking to you today on the fruit of the Spirit of patience. When we signed up and selected our fruits before summer started, I selected patience. And unfortunately, it is not because I'm an expert in this fruit. It is because I think patient people are lovely. I think they're little marvels. I look at them in certain situations and wonder, why are you not annoyed or upset? How? Truly, they are examples of God's power and greatness here on earth. Real patience, godly patience, takes a painful situation and endures it and comes out triumphant on the other side. But the real reason I chose patience is that God has something to say to me about it. In preparing for this sermon, I wanted to create a title. So some of the ideas I came up with include, they are wrong, but you don't have to say anything. Or, God's still in control, and you're still not. But I think what we really need to hear is, love is patience. And we are all called to be a people known by love. If love is supposed to be our identifying characteristic, and love is patient, then we all need to possess and grow this fruit. Today, we are celebrating our 12th anniversary. I was going to say I, but obviously it takes more, so my husband and I are celebrating. We are celebrating, and thank you. We've made it to 12 nicely because of God's grace and because of my husband's patience. Out of the two of us, my husband is the patient one, no question. But we are not here to talk about when I think is an appropriate or acceptable time to arrive at an event. We are here to hear from God's word why patience is such an important fruit in our lives and how it can only be grown or developed by the work of the Holy Spirit. We cannot will ourselves to be more patient. We cannot decide, today this or that habit, attitude, trial will no longer annoy me. And if it does, I will not express my frustration, or at least not as much. It doesn't work that way. If it did, so many more people would have so much less to say. So today we will look at what patience is, what it is not, and how we can practice patience with circumstances, others, and ourselves. So we should be able to wrap all this up by 1:30, so let's get started. And if you think that's too long, then it's good that you're here because you need more patience. Just kidding. So this morning, I want to read the King James version of Galatians 5:22. So I was raised on King James, so here we go. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Long-suffering. We don't hear that one as often anymore. Patience is beyond being willing to wait for something. It is tolerating what is challenging or painful without complaint or anger. When we talk about patience, we are talking about going through hard times without being shocked that hard times are happening or expressing anger that such things should happen to us. I would like to look at two New Testament stories of patience, one that shows us who we are and one that shows us who God is. So our first text this morning is a parable of the prodigal son. So if you want to turn to Luke 15, I'll give you guys a second to get there if you'd like. And I'm just going to read verses 20 to 25. So we'll just do part of it this morning. I know you've heard it many times. Here we go. So starting at verse 20 in Luke 15. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Most of us have heard this parable numerous times, and the focus is on the love of the Father and the forgiveness of the Father. But what about the patience he demonstrates? His son has been disrespectful, rude, foolish, wasteful, and shameful. As the Father, surely he is in a position where he could and should correct this behavior. It deserves a lecture. The son deserves to be reprimanded. And instead, as if the Father knew it was only a matter of time, his son returns to him with a contrite spirit and humbly seeks forgiveness. The father has been waiting for him. He has been watching for him, and he is ready for him. Instead of the well-deserved, you shouldn't have, look what you did, you deserve, the father welcomes him and celebrates him. That is patience. That is love. That is not natural. That is of God. The father in this story does not reject and abandon the son for so blatantly going against his teachings and values. He welcomes back and even honors him. Because the son finally realizes his failures and missteps and comes back in penitence, we can assume that he was aware of what he has done wrong. So at some point in this relationship, the teaching and correction did happen. The son chose to ignore it. But after all of his wanderings, the son comes back and is received and loved. So here we see that God's expression of patience involves not chasing, not chastising, but waiting, expecting, and accepting. Oh, it doesn't really matter, but can you go back in the slide to, or can you go ahead in the slide to what patience is not? There's some good verses. We'll just zip through them. It should be at, like, patience is not. Yeah, beautiful. Patience is not passivity. So it is not simply giving up on a cause or a person or ignoring the problems around us as a means to evade anger or frustration. It is continuing to engage with those people, those problems, and not tiring of the sameness, the disappointment, or feeling the need to explode. I can't stand it. We can stand it because God helps us stand. It requires acknowledging that God is actually in control of the situation. Patience requires that we accept others in love as God accepted us when we came to him. There is no, well, you really shouldn't have. Remember the time? Too bad you. Instead, we have a God who is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. In the story of the prodigal son, the father does not forget about the son, pretend he no longer exists, or remain angry. He forgives him, seemingly before the son asks for forgiveness, and then he awaits his return. So patience with circumstances. If you do a sermon on patience, a logical selection is Job. He is often equated with patience for enduring his immense and horrifying loss and continuing to trust God. His story of patience is hopefully inspiring more than relatable, but I'm sure for some it feels too familiar. When we look at the life and experiences of Job, we see a man who suffered so horribly. He loses his herds of donkeys, sheep, and camels, almost all of his servants, and his children in one day. In learning of this loss, Job says in chapter 1, verse 21, Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. He shows acceptance of the circumstance and continued trust in God. The next day, he is afflicted with sores all over his body. This is too much. It cannot be endured. And yet we see that Job maintains his faith in God during this devastating time. When his wife questions why he doesn't curse God, he answers, You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? Again, he has accepted the situation and believes that God is in control and sovereign. He is not saying his situation is good, but Job shows us that whether the situation is good or not, God is always good. Then Job has the next 35 or 36 chapters to defend himself against his friends' accusations and challenges. In the midst of this, Job says, I know that my Redeemer lives and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. When those around him cannot provide comfort or solutions to his problems, Job again proclaims God's faithfulness. When we examine Job's response to his tragedies, we see he is not rejoicing in his suffering. He's not thanking God for it. He is hurt, and he is barely hanging on, but he is hanging on. And he continues to believe that God is faithful and able. So patience does not require joy in suffering. It is that hopeful expectation. It is anticipating that things can change for the better. And in the end, we see that God did take care of Job. In chapter 42, verse 12, we read, "The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first." So part of patience is believing that things can change and knowing that God is able to bring about that change. Patience requires trust. Patience with others. When prepping for a sermon, we often look for quotations or definitions, something to relate and connect. So I picked the lesser-known theologian A.A. Milne with a quotation, "If the person you are talking to doesn't appear to be listening, be patient. It may simply be that he has a small piece of fluff in his ear. The people may not understand because they are not able to, and you can't be mad at them for that. The most frustrating situation is when it appears that people may have put the fluff in their ear themselves, or maybe someone else put it in there. But the patience comes in knowing that the fluff can come out. So who are the people with the fluff in their ears? That could be anyone around us." So now I'm going to look at Matthew 18, and we'll read a parable that you've heard many times as well. Matthew 18, and I'll just start at 23. It's the story of the two debtors. It's titled "The Parable of the Unmerciful Servant." Peter begins by asking Jesus how many times he is to forgive his brother, and Jesus replies with this story. So I'm going to start at verse 23. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt." This story depicts so many of us. We have been forgiven by God for so many things, so many times. And then we look around at the other people who belong to God, not to us, and we are impatient with them. Do any of you ever have children who like to help parent your other children? It usually doesn't go well. We would all do well to let the God who is in charge be in charge. Now, in this story, the fellow servant did have a debt, and sometimes our fellow humans will have debts with us. They will be wrong. But it is not in our best interest to fret or engage in fits of rage. These do not reflect God's character or demonstrate his fruit in our lives. Patience removes the tendency to become angry and demand that we be compensated for any wrongs against us. We can see from this parable that it is not by experiencing patience that we become patient. It can help, but it is not a fruit of people. It has to come from God. To be wronged and continue to love requires God moving in our heart, in our hearts. Patience requires forgiveness. Now, patience with ourselves. We're going to look at Paul. So God can and still use you, and he can still use others. So 1 Timothy 1, 12 to 16, Paul is writing to Timothy and states, "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life." Jesus takes the worst of us, the least likely, the most far gone, and does beautiful things. He saves us from the deepest part of sinfulness, the most hopeless path, and puts joy back in our hearts. He shows his power by completely changing those of us who can't be changed by human works or discipline or desire. If you find yourself getting tired of yourself, and impatient with how many times you've been impatient with others, or messed up, or missed an opportunity, be patient. God is still working in you. When you notice you have sinned and missed the mark of God's purpose for your life, he is working in you. We can come to him, get back on track with time in prayer and study of God's word. We can seek forgiveness of God and then accept it, and then remember it, and then pass it on. There are others who need to know that there is hope for change. So what does patience look like? It's expectation versus dismissal. It is active and not indifferent to the situation. If you are in a trying situation, you're dealing with a challenging person, the answer to ending conflict is to continue in prayer and study of God's word. We are continue to wait for God to move so that we can recognize and identify that God has been faithful. It is not becoming fed up and then casting aside a situation or person. Don't give up, wait and hope. It's understanding versus tolerance. Rather than simply putting up with challenging situations and refraining from making disparaging comments regarding what you're experiencing, patience is a demonstration of understanding from God. The understanding is that God is able, he is faithful, and he is good. Knowing what challenges will come and knowing that God can use these experiences to bring good enables us to wait through it. Patience is letting go of the need to put people in their place, not feeling the need to tell them all the ways in which they fall short and what they deserve for it. So patience requires acceptance that our circumstances and our experiences with others will not be perfect. Lessons may have to be learned more than one time, and instead of frustration or anger when this occurs, there is a sense of recognition and humility. Patience comes when there's an expectation that things might go differently than how we wanted. People will think differently than us. Good things will happen to bad people, and bad things will happen to good people. This should no longer enrage us. This is what happens in a fallen world. And rather than feeling a sense of hopelessness, since patience involves hopeful expectation, there's a sense of opportunity and anticipation. There is more to come, and what is to come is better than what there is now. If you find yourself in a situation that causes you to say, I can't, for the younger crowd, I can't even, know that you can get through the situation with the patience that comes from God. For all the times it seems impossible, remember that nothing is impossible with God. God makes the difficult doable. He's seen it before, and he's done it before. Which brings us to the topic of trigonometric identities. Where's Nathan? Nathan, did you do trig identities last year? Did you love it? We all love it. Come on, okay. So many of us appreciate mathematics for the sheer joy, okay, me. Many of us appreciate mathematics for the sheer joy of understanding the world around us and the comfort of a final answer. Being able to box it and say, that is it, it's so satisfying. So if you remember doing grade 12 pre-cal, or perhaps you're the 100 era, or whatever it was called before that, I was gonna ask my dad, I didn't, and you had the fun task of completing trig identities, here's where it comes in. So trig identities, I'm told by my engineer brother, and what I could find online, is actually useful in real life. It can be used for physics of music theory, okay, the design and architecture and various types of engineering for analyzing direct and alternating current. However, my experience with them as a high school teacher was simply to manipulate and equate seemingly dissimilar expressions and show how they are actually the same. It is a joy. It is a fun little game that if you go in knowing that it can be done, that you have all the tools and pieces you need right there on your little reference sheet, or perhaps memorized in your brain, you can sit down, change a few things here, change a few things there, and all of a sudden, after half a page or more of writing, you have two equal sides. It's delightful. To some. Now, in high school math, you stop there, you look at it, you beam, and then you move on to the next question, often with no real use for the identity you solved. But of course, there is a purpose, whether we know it or not. This is not unlike our lives. God can take these apparently unrelated, challenging events, experiences, encounters, and relationships, and put them together and change little bits of us as we go along, and all of a sudden, after a lifetime of learning, we are changed into the identity of who he wants us to be. Some of us take two pages, some of us only a few lines, but we can all get there. God has created reference sheets for all of us to use, the Bible. When you feel like you don't know the answer to something, you don't know what comes next, you need to be engaged in prayer and study. All of the help we need is there, but we have to look for it. Somebody else has been through this, and God saw them through. But if we carry on just thinking of things and looking at the paper, nothing will happen because nothing will change. And because he is patient, God will wait for us to find his answer instead of forcing us into his will. So God's patience with us. I just want to return to 2 Peter 3:9. So it was at the beginning, but I'll just read it again. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Sometimes what seems slow to us is set up to allow for those not yet ready to yield to Christ. God is waiting. So when the end to your suffering or trial seems slow in coming, like that multi-page identity, it may be because God is making something extra special out of it. So God is not slow in keeping his promises. He's allowing time for the best end result. Oh, nice. Thanks, Tom. Good job. Getting all of it. Okay, and then if you give, we'll go to the end here. Patience and patience. Homophones. Okay, so patience and patience. That was my other possible title here. You need the former to gain the latter. When we live alone, we can be the most patient people around, or at least the most patient people at home. It's easy because our patience with others is not tested as much. But in order to gain the fruit of the spirit of patience, we need to have patience with the T in our lives who need us. In order for patience to increase in our lives, we need to be willing to be around those people who need our help, our assistance, and our acceptance. So who are the patients that need your help? And who is helping you to exercise patience? It could be family, coworkers, strangers around you, politicians who need your prayers more than your letters. Patience is the acting out of peace. What we heard last week is that peace is more than the absence of conflict. It comes from trust and security in Christ. God is in control, and he is able to govern the situation, so we don't need to fret. It is peace that allows us to exercise patience. God has this. God is good, and God is love, and love is patient.